Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Rat Style Review, and you can also check this out on my podcast, Music is Life Podcast. This is Lou Mavs. Welcome. It's not often I get to say I'm interviewing one of my guitar heroes. I'm proud to say I can include Sasha Gerstner from Helloween, Denny Fischel of Sick Life, John Witten of Shockwire, and Brian Tatler of Diamondhead in that list. But now I get to say I'm interviewing one of my all-time favorite guitar heroes from my motherland, my patrida of Greece. I first discovered this great musician when I heard the album Allegiance in 2006 from his band Firewind, and I was immediately hooked by the skill, melody, and ferocity of the band. I immediately became a fan of the band and guitarist Gus G. I was quite ecstatic for him when he became the guitarist for the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne, and played on the album Scream. No matter what, you can't deny the skill set of this musician as a guitarist, as a songwriter, and as a performer. He's back with a new live album from Firewind called Still Raging, due out on September 1st, celebrating 20 years of metal excellence and a career that is unparalleled by many of his peers. I'm very proud to welcome to the Rat Style Review Network, Idios Kosas Karamitroudis, but you know him as Gus G. Gus, welcome.
Wow. What an intro.
What can I say? I'm a cunning linguist. See what I did there?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for being on. I see you have your awesome collection of Jacksons back there. Yes. Oh, that's actually one with the Floyd Rose back there, I see. Similar to the Randy Rhoads Concord, the white one.
You mean
the Flying V?
Yeah, that is a Rhoads model, one of the new ones they brought out last year. It's called Concept Series. Yeah. I have two Randy Rhoads guitars, one there and one in the back. I don't know if you can see somewhere there.
Very cool. All right. Well, we will start off with the questions. First off, congratulations on 20 years of Firewind. And we are celebrating it with Still Raging, a 2-CD set and live Blu-ray disc coming out on September 1st on AFM Records worldwide. You recorded this live in Thessaloniki, which I'm proud to say I visited back in 1996 at the age of 15, and I was blown away by the sights. Thessaloniki is your home city and your base in Greece, and most people, when they think of recording live albums in Europe, they usually think of releasing their live set from Wacken or Sweden Rock or Hellfest. Instead, you express gratitude for the city that birthed you and gave back to it with a killer live performance. How important was it for you to represent Thessaloniki in the Still Raging collection?
Actually, this is the second live recording we are doing here in Thessaloniki. The first one was back in 2008, when we were about to release an album called The Premonition. We had played the album from, you know, back to back, and then plus a best of set at that time, and we filmed it at the same club. Well, actually it was a different venue, but the same name, like the Principal Club Theater. And that became later on the DVD called Live Premonition. That was back in 2008, you know, when DVDs were a thing.
For some of us, they still now, are.
Yeah, I had no clue, actually. I don't know where my DVD player is, to be honest with you. But but the thing is, we were doing this show last year, you know. It was like right after the pandemic was kind of like winding down, and we started doing a few shows. So we booked We did a US tour, and then we had some festivals. And then towards the end of the year, we had a couple of Greek shows here in like a hometown gig and one in Athens. And really was by coincidence because and I mean, I don't know if it's like some kind of a history repeats itself, but the same film crew that did our DVD 15 years ago, the same guys, I mean, we're friends with them, and they came up and they said, "Hey Gus, we can send down the van, the truck with the guys with the film crew, and we can film it again if you want." And I was like, "Oh wow, do it again at the same venue? I mean, why not? Because the first DVD that we put out, it's not available anymore."
So, out of print. Okay.
So yeah, it was out of print. So I thought, you know what? Why not? Let's just do an updated version of that and, you know, celebrate the band's 20th anniversary in style. So I ended up having this footage in my hands. And I really wasn't sure what to do with it. I'm glad that we got to do it in my hometown. Of course, it means a lot to me because this is where I was born and raised, in Thessaloniki. And we have a killer fan base here. I don't know if you've checked out a few songs already, but you'll see they were crazy in a good way. So we always love playing here. Yeah.
I missed an opportunity to see you perform live. You were in Rhodes, I think, in the summer of 2015, the island of Rodo.
Yeah.
And you were performing the week after I left. And I was like, oh, I could have seen him. If I had only known, I would have loved to have seen you.
That was a cool show, actually. Yeah, it was a nice club there. And it was right around the time when I was putting out a solo record, I think Brand New Revolution. And yeah, that was kind of like one of those, the same, I think I played there the same day the album came out. I don't know why, but it just so happened. And I've never been back to Rhodes ever since, but that was the only show I've done there. It was nice.
Yeah, it's my favorite island that I've been to so far. And prayers for everyone who is affected by the wildfires there. How has this lineup of Firewind been so far in comparison to past lineups? And of course, I want to give cheers to your bandmates, longtime bassist Petros Christodoulis, drummer Johan Nunez, and from Avantasia, your singer since 2019, Herbie Langens. How has this lineup been working out for you?
It's working out really well so far. I mean, we've gone through a few lineup changes, especially in the singer position. I mean, Petros and Joe have been around the band for a long, long time. But yeah, I mean, it's working out really well with Herbie in the band. We get along great. And he's a guy who loves what he does. He loves touring. He loves being up on stage. And yeah, it's been good, man.
Excellent. I did catch the live footage from the Blu-ray. Amazing performances by all, definitely. Your relationship with AFM Records, they're doing a great job by promoting it. I mean, you know, when we caught wind of the fact that you were available for interviews, we jumped at the chance. And they're a label that has many great artists on it, including Udo Dirkschneider's band and Flotsam and Jetsam. How's the relationship with them? I mean, would you say that AFM has been the best label so far for Firewind?
I can't really say that they're the best label for us because, you know, we have a history also with Century Media, and they helped develop the band in the early days, and, you know, they really supported us. You know, it would be unfair to Century Media for all the work they put in on our behalf and to help us get the band off the ground. But, you know, AFM is doing a pretty good job so far. I get along with the label manager and all the people there. I have a really good product manager these days, and they're passionate about what they're doing. You know, record labels, their job has changed a lot in the recent years because the business model has changed. But you know, AFM, there are some things, of course, that need improvement on, like everybody else. But I think they were the ones that kind of like they were getting it from the early days of the digitalization of things. Like they're really caught on to the Spotify changes and how this is going to change the revolutionize the music industry. And so they have all these cool ideas about things like that. And at the same time, of course, you know, they are they fund our projects and they are a good partner, you know, not only for the digital part, but also for putting out cool physical products like this Blu-ray.
And that was in no way meant to put Century Media in a negative light. Back in my day of college radio, Century Media would send the best of the best when it came to what was out there. You know, they did a great job promoting Shadows Fall, God Forbid, Firewind. Give them all the credit in the world. Absolutely. You were already established as one of guitar's young guns way before you joined Ozzy. I mean, I knew of you before you joined him, having done my research on you because, you know, the internet became a big thing by then. So, you know, I had learned that you were a student at Berkeley. You left school to start working on Firewind. You studied with the great Joe Stump, currently of Alcatraz, and worked with so many different projects until Firewind got its first major release. I'm sure every musician gets to a point where being a hired member runs its course before they decide that they've had enough and they want to work on their own material, and they're willing to take the risk to ensure success. For you, what would you say was the point where you wanted to establish Firewind as the main priority? And are you still working or willing to work with other bands on different projects or different artists?
Well, for me, it started backwards. I mean, I always wrote my own music, and I was heavily involved in all the bands that I participated in, whether it was Dream Evil or, I don't know, Mystic Prophecy or any of those bands. And at the same time, Firewind was always kind of like my own baby. Like, that's the thing that I kind of started. I didn't co-start the band, co-found with somebody else, but it was just me. You know, like doing a couple of hired gun gigs came later in my career, obviously a little bit with Arch Enemy back in 2005 and later on with Ozzy. But yeah, I mean, for me, like I came from the world of, from a different world, like of, you know, you make your own music and you take your own risk and you build your own fan base, one fan at a time, I guess. And I went from that into people asking me to join their bands and asking to hire me to play guitar for them, which I did obviously for a little bit. And then I always kept going back to my own thing.
What would you say is your most memorable takeaway from your time with Joe Stump?
He was really cool with me, man. I really enjoyed doing the lessons with him. Joe has this neoclassical metal shred background, and that's his style. And I loved all that. And we had a lot of guitar players that we both loved and like in common. And yeah, we would have lots of chats about gear and tone and certain records. And he had a lot of cool licks. He, you know, I still have the charts he gave me back then, when some charts to practice to certain licks. And yeah, man, yeah. And he was always very nice to me.
Wayne from Rat's Eye Review wanted to know what it was like performing in a band with Snowy Shaw, being that Snowy Shaw is one of his favorite drummers. Also, what were the circumstances behind your departure with that?
Playing with Snowy was really cool. You know, he's an incredible drummer. I love playing with Snowy, you know, his groove and feel and stuff. And it's kind of interesting because at the time that I was in Dream Evil with Snowy, he didn't have much interest in being a drummer anymore. We knew him from Merciful Fate and King Diamond, but he wanted to be like a all-around artist, to write music and sing and play guitar. And I was like, oh, but, you know, we know you as this great drummer. And I just love jamming with him, you know. In my years with Dream Evil, I, you know, me and Snowy, we got along great, and we hung out a lot and we wrote a lot of songs together. The reason basically why I quit Dream Evil was because the band, I was frustrated because the band was getting pretty successful, but the rest of the band were not, you know, besides me and Snowy, the rest of the guys were not really willing to tour and build it up. And, you know, they just wanted to remain kind of like a hobby band or like a side thing. And, you know, I was in my early 20s and I wanted to rule the world.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, you know, those were not good enough answers for me. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it on my own. I'm out of here. So that's what happened.
This actually leads me to your next question. With the multiple bands that you've had, I mean, especially like dating back to a year like 2003, you know, with Firewind, Dream Evil, Mystic Prophecy, and Night Rage, how hectic was it working on all those albums? Were they all recorded around the same time? Or do you kind of plan where you work on material for one project, and then once that's done, you kind of create new material for a new project when the time allots itself? Do you have like a specific process?
Well, nowadays I plan my time very differently in my schedule. Back then, in the early days, those bands were not signed. There were no obligations. So I would just write with whoever and all those guys and different bands. And I was just working on different projects at the same time until things started picking up. nowadays, I mean, I will focus on doing like a Firewind record, and then, you know, we'll go on a tour, and then I'll figure out what the next step is. And I always kind of collect ideas on my computer, and then I revisit them. And then I'll see. I mean, the last 5 or 6 years, it's been like one Firewind album, one solo album, and that cycle will repeat pretty much.
After a long partnership with ESP Guitars, you're now officially part of the Jackson Charvel family. I have to admit that the name brand and quality of Jackson Guitars, whether they're made in the United States or Indonesia, by far some of the most well-crafted and best-sounding guitars I've ever played or performed with. Other names associated with the Jackson brand include Phil Cullen of Def Leppard, Phil Demmel of Violence, and Adrian Smith of Iron Maiden. What were the circumstances that you would say led you towards Jackson?
Obviously, the opportunity was great to collaborate with them, but I really liked the ideas that they had. And I liked the team in the company. I liked, you know, I got along great with the guys in the company. And, you know, they had great ideas about how to launch my guitars, what to do, how to redesign my star shapes. And at that time, I was with ESP for 12 years, but most of the people that I was working with, they were either let go or quit. And ESP was going through a lot of internal changes. And I think a lot of things got lost there in translation. So I think they were just changing priorities too. So it was just like a business decision, more or less. And to me, honestly, all of the big guitar brands, they make great guitars. So it wasn't about the guitars. It was more about, like, you know, how you connect with people and are we on the same page of what we want to do here? So that was the question for me back in 2016. And I decided to make that change, which was a big change for me. And but I'm glad I did it, because it has been, you know, Jackson is the best partner or sponsor, if you like, that I've had in my career. They're amazing. And not only they make great guitars for me, and they're really open-minded about discussing ideas and stuff. But they're also, there's a lot of exciting things happening with them all the time. And and they have a great network because they are owned by Fender. So actually, they've been able to sell a lot of guitars. I mean, I've seen the sales of my guitars going higher and higher, and which was, you know, as a business decision, it was pretty good.
One day I will loan a Gus G. Jackson. One day I will.
It will be mine. Oh, yes. It will be mine.
I hope so.
I also want to discuss your use of Blackstar amps. I love their sound as well. Being that live sound has become kind of consolidated into smaller packages now. For example, Misha Mansour of Periphery created the Horizon Devices Apex preamp, which could fit into a pedal board and go directly into front of the house. Blackstar now has their own version of the amp in the box called the Amped, which is 100 mm-hmm. watts and can fit into a pedal board. For logistical purposes and maybe fly-in dates like festivals, could you ever see yourself using these products, or do you feel that the backline amplifiers is a necessity for the live performance?
It depends what you want to do, really. I recently got into in-ear monitors. I didn't do that before. So I really needed to hear a few cabs on stage and loud amps. But now that I'm using in-ear monitors the last couple of years, I don't need to have all that volume on stage, for example. However, I still love using the tube amp. There's something that cannot be really replicated exactly, at least up until now, in my opinion. There's something magical about a tube amp going into a 4x12 cab. And I still use it like that. That's how I still play on stage. And I mean, luckily now Blackstar have come up with smaller amps as well. They came up with an amp called St. James. I don't know if you know it. But it's like the lightest weight 50 watt tube amp in the world. It weighs like, I don't know, like 5 kilos. What's that? Like 8 or 9 pounds.
Roughly. Yes.
And, yeah, you can probably carry, I carry it on board with me as a carry on, you know, on the flights. So it's very light, and it's all tube, you know, it's 606 tubes, and it also has like this XLR out with like built-in IRs.
Oh, that's convenient. To have a tube amp with an XLR output on the back. Oh, geez. Absolutely.
Sounds incredible. And I mean, I use it with, you know, with my cab, of course, but I'm just saying like technology has come a long way. So nowadays you can get like a full tube amp that is, you know, almost as big as like a pedal board or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the amp they brought out, you know, I tried it. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm like a tube guy still. I like playing tube amps.
Fair enough. One thing I appreciate about your style is that most of, if not all of your guitars, well, I see the Flying V has a Floyd Rose, but you mostly use hardtail bridges. So there's less reliance on tremolo systems and more of a dependence on your own feel and technique of the instrument. When you were developing your style or constructing solos in the studio or live, what was it that gravitated you towards the approach of modeling your guitars with the hardtail bridge?
It just felt better for me. I got a better grip of, you know, my right hand for the riffs and the solos, and I just felt that it had better intonation, more sustain. So yeah, sure, you cannot do dive bombs and all those things, but whatever, you know, I was never really a huge fan of all that either. And yeah, I have a few guitars with tremolo systems, but mainly I like the stop tail bridges.
I know you have some European shows in the coming future, but as we see with a lot of artists performing internationally, there seems to be issues with visas and health mandates and logistics, such as paying venues a percentage of merchandise fees and figuring out how much overhead to bring on tour. Have you run into any of these issues, and has it hindered the touring experience for you at all, or do you get involved to the point where you consider the best case scenarios for all involved way in advance, where everyone profits from it? You know, you, the crew, the band, the fans, and the venue.
We always plan ahead everything we do. And, you know, I'm heavily involved with logistics and everything, as I'm also managing the band. And of course, we've run into these situations. You know, nobody escapes these venue fees nowadays, or, you know, you have to,
it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah, it is. It is.
The Napo Mega Sus. I'm disgusted by you all.
I mean, it happens, unfortunately. Not everybody does it. Not every venue does it, but some do it. So, yeah. I mean, that definitely, that's a bummer when that happens, you know. And of course, like in certain European countries, you have to deal also with VAT on top of all those. It's a valued added tax thing. You don't have that in America, but in Europe, we deal with that. So all the sales, you have to pay an extra VAT, which is from 20% to 27%, depending on the country, on top of the venue cuts. So, you know, a lot of the merch income goes right out of the window in taxes and venue cuts. And I'm not sure you can escape the VAT, but I think like this... like the venue cuts, I think, yeah, that's disgusting. It shouldn't be happening. Especially like when I think like, especially when the venue has been hired by the promoter. So it's already, those guys got their daily fee, whatever they want for the venue. I'm always thinking, why do they want to like get extra percentage for a small corner when you do like a pop-up shop or something, when they've already gotten the rent for the day? You know what I mean? So that blows my mind. Anyways, but yeah, man, like touring is not cheap. It's very expensive, and it's gotten way more expensive. For us doing flight shows this summer, incredibly expensive nowadays. Like even flying Europe to take a flight from Greece to Germany, which is like only like a 2-hour flight. It's like it went like 1/3 higher costs. So everything is just more expensive nowadays.
This is why it's important people buy physical media. It supports the bands and keeps them on the road and keeps them doing what they love, releasing the music you love.
Everybody got that?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the support from the fans is basically the reason why we do it. And that's what keeps everything going. And I think most people know that by now. Not everybody, but I think the majority of the fans know. Yeah. For some, it's harder than others, but I think depending on your level, you have to deal with different level of expenses and different numbers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. For us, luckily, we've been able to navigate through all this so far successfully without really going in the red. So it's been okay. I hope it doesn't get any worse. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. We know that Ozzy has had a couple of health issues in the past years. We wish him well with all this health. Have you maintained any contact with him to see how he's been doing?
Not really, not very much. I mean, I sent a couple of emails like in the beginning when he had, when I heard he got injured, you know, I just sent my wishes, you know, I emailed Sharon and stuff, but yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much keeping up with them online, like the rest of the world, whenever he issues an update for his health. I hope he can, get back on track. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to tour again in the scale that he used to, but at least, you know, so he can do a couple of nice farewell shows, at least a couple of one-offs. You know, I think he would really like that. And I think he will, because he's the Iron Man. So I don't think you can, I don't think you can take him off stage that easily.
Very cool. Also, I watched the live footage of you performing with former Iron Maiden vocalist, Paul Di'Anno. And I have to admit, that was the best live footage I've seen of Paul in a very long time. You and the whole band sounded great. What was the experience like playing the classic Di'Anno Maiden era material?
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. And Paul was very nervous because those were like the first few shows he has done like in 6 or 7 years. But he did great. You know, he did great. And he was really excited. And he was nervous. And, you know, he had all this adrenaline and stuff. And Maiden fans in Greece, I mean, all over the world, but here in Greece, it's like Maiden is like religion. So,
I got mobbed for my Maiden shirts when I visited Greece every time that I went. My Maiden shirts, my Iced Earth shirts, my Manowar shirts. Yes, I know. I felt the love.
So you get the vibe. Yeah, that was great, man. It was great playing those legendary songs. And we worked hard at, you know, with the band. We rehearsed a lot. We wanted to put on we wanted to be a great backing band for Paul, you know, to do his thing.
You definitely accomplished that. And I think it's great that you can be the only guitar player that performs with both singers, the original singers of my two favorite bands of all time, Sabbath and Maiden. So that,
I never thought about that like that.
That's a pretty cool accomplishment.
Yeah.
Aside from what you've done on your own, of course, you know, I
mean,
taking anything away from you. If people want to find out more about what Gus G is doing or what Firewind is doing, where can people find you on the internet?
It's pretty easy these days, isn't it? You just type in the name and it'll show up.
I know, but I like to give the artists I interview their chance to plug their stuff.
Yeah, man, thanks. No, Gus G Official and Firewind Official on Instagram, Facebooks, Twitters, and what have you. I'm now learning how to use TikTok as well, because it seems that's where it's going to go. That's where all the music industry is going to go in the next few years. And that's what everybody's talking about, at least. That's the vibe I'm getting. And people are even talking about the fall of Spotify and TikTok music, you know, being the main music outlet. Who knows? Like, so many opinions these days, right? Let's see how it goes.
In my lifetime, and you and I are the same age, both born in 1980, how many changes in the music industry have you and I alone have seen? It's ridiculous.
Many, many. To me, these are like tools. That's how I look at them. I don't look at them as like the devil. You know, they are tools so I can connect with people and put my music out there. So I don't, you know, of course, there's many wrong things with it. But, you know, as long as you know why you use social media,
right,
then you're good.
The only thing I'm not crazy about is using artificial intelligence to create songs. I think that's ridiculous. And people are doing that. That's insane.
Yeah. 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 People are going to experiment with it now. And let's see how far this goes. You know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, we see people, I think Avenged Sevenfold put out a song written with AI, like AI wrote it for them and they performed it.
Are you serious?
I read that they did that, and it was not like, it sounded like Avenged Sevenfold, but it was not like a really great song. And I think they kind of like said, yeah, we didn't, you know, we were, but they were trying, testing the waters. And I think bands are like now doing AI music videos. So Well, I don't know, man. It's changing. It's changing quickly.
Well, the music videos I can understand. I mean, that's okay. But I mean, to create songs, it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm still old school. I'd rather hear just somebody playing their instrument and doing it well and giving me a reason. I'll take that any day.
I prefer that too, of course. Yeah. You can't, and you know, you obviously AI can be very advanced, but it will never replicate the feelings of somebody creating something unique. It can only copy something from somebody who's unique. So there you have it right there.
Absolutely. Finally, I'd like to ask, do you have any special message for your fans?
Yeah, man. Stay healthy, listen to metal, and thank you for watching and listening to this.
Gus G, ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ που ήρθες στο Ratsaw Review. Thank you so much for coming to Ratsaw Review. This was a real honor for me. I'm humbled and grateful. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, man. Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank you. Hey, have a good one.
Thanks. If you want to find out more about Ratsaw Review, check out ratsawreview.com. Also, check out my Linktree Music is Life podcast. For Gus G from Firewind, this is Lou Mass from Ratsaw Review. Thanks for watching or listening, and cheers to you.